tile.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, not really.
Okay. I was going to say
that's all right. It's like 12 out of 16.
Seems like a weird note to make.
12 out of 16. How's yours doing?
I mean, I went 12 and 4 yesterday.
Same here. So we're both in the 66th percentile. I should not have tried to say 66th in the first segment. That's hard for me.
Now you've said it three times, though. You're right.
I have a bit of a lisp. It's hard to tell, but I do. I had to take speech class in first grade? 66th percent. It's hard for me.
I'm picturing what I assume was overweight, young Cody McClure.
I was like 95 pounds in kindergarten.
Stop making fun of me.
Stop it. Stop.
I can't wait till I go to high school, Billy.
At that age, yeah, you were right. I ended up becoming the one who bullies.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was definitely the bullied.
I can't wait till I go to high school, Billy. Billy, not bully. Did you think yesterday, day one, was good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. There were some good games that went down to the wire.
What were the highlights? I mean, I think the story coming out of day one is, there's two things. Yeah, there's Ja Morant on the court, triple-double, the first one since 2012. 17 points, 16 assists, 11 rebounds. He looked like the best player on the court yesterday. He was the best player on the court yesterday. Jamming over people, breaking down defenses, getting his teammates wide open threes. Ja Morant looked like a shoe-in for the number two overall draft pick in the NBA.
Yeah, and I've never really been the guy to say I told you so or anything, but you'll recall in my detailed analysis about Murray State that I said Ja Morant is fantastic.
Yeah.
And they'll beat Marquette.
You had talked me into it.
They did get the job done. Unfortunate that my other double-digit seed could not do the same. Belmont.
At Elkmont yesterday, my friend Courtney said that she picked Murray State only on the strength of your analysis on Monday.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a strong decision by her, and it paid off.
Yeah. She trusted you.
That's good.
She said that you you led her to victory.
Excellent. I'm sure her bracket's doing well right now.
So Ja Morant stole the headlines on the court. Is the second biggest story coming out of this Tom Izzo?
And how he sucks in the tournament?
Well, no. Well, they did struggle, but no, the issue with the player.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't see the big thing with him screaming at his freshman, having to be restrained by his players?
I did not.
Ah, yeah, he got in his face coming off the court, and then they were sitting on the sitting on chairs out in the court, in the huddle, and he got back up in his face, and the players had to hold Tom Izzo back again. Tom Izzo's had an issue with that earlier this year where he sarcastically talked about asking permission from the players to coach them. And I'm not going to have the same conversation. I've talked about it many times. I think if you can't coach without getting in someone's face and, doing that, you need to work on your coaching a little bit. I'm not going to talk about it. All I'll say about Tom Izzo and this issue is that just one time I want one of these players to hit a high-profile coach in the face. Lose their cool the way the coaches lose their cool. Just one time I want it. To grab him up, push him, do something.
Right in the throat.
Let's take this story to another level. I'm tired of just always having the same angle on it of, wow, players getting yelled at by coaches. Is it fair? Is it not? I want a player to hit a coach after the coach gets in his face.
What if the coach hits him back?
Well, let's see. Let's just go.
They just fight right there on the court.
Tom Izzo talked about holding people accountable. What if Tom Izzo draws up a bad play and one of the players just grabs Tom Izzo and is like, hey, you stupid idiot. What kind of play is that? I'm going to kick your ass. You're worthless. Hold him accountable. Hold Izzo accountable too. Or maybe, Izzo's boss could do it instead of, doing the whole weird Nasser. D'Antoni's got something going on up there. D'Antonio's got something going on up there. Izzo's got some questions up there. How about the Michigan State AD grabs Tom Izzo up like that?
How did Larry Nasser factor into that?
Because Michigan State is a cesspool. That's how. Michigan State's been a laughing stock. Michigan State has been harboring a criminal for a long time. They've been enabling him. They've got problems in the basketball, the football. They're just a mess. I just hate Michigan State.
Are you saying Tom Izzo is a part of that?
I mean, the football and basketball program are linked to other things.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just a culture up there at Michigan State. Are they linked to Larry Nasser? No. But I do think it's tied to Michigan State and their whole sports department. Yes, in a way. Because like I said, there was questions about D'Antonio and Tom Izzo with former athletes and assault and rape and cover-ups and all that stuff. So not a part of the Nasser stuff, but a part of the overarching topic.
Tom Izzo does just kind of look like a greasy guy, you know.
I just want one of these players to grab him up. Or his boss. I'd like this. Maybe let's keep the power dynamic the same. Let's get Michigan State AD or president in Tom Izzo's face grabbing him up. Let's just get a different angle to this story. I'm tired of seeing millionaire coach, unpaid athlete, coach flying off the handle at unpaid athlete. Let's just flip the angle a little bit. I'm tired of having the same conversation.
Tom says he will not apologize for yelling at Henry.
And then in the post-game press conference said, I don't know what you guys do, or I don't know what kind of bosses you guys have, but if I was running a newspaper, you're damn right I'd hold you guys accountable too. And I just wonder, like, if Tom Izzo was running a newspaper, is he going and grabbing up the writers who are a little late on deadline or maybe misspelled a word and the editor had to fix it? Is he going and is he coaching that same way? Because if not, then the comparison falls a little flat for me.
That would be kind of weird in a newsroom.
I mean,
to have a guy yelling and screaming like that.
Let's hold people accountable. Next time you guys do something wrong here, I hope Nate comes in and grabs you guys up. I hope Nate starts rolling like Izzo around here, holding you guys accountable.
See, that would be weird, too.
Yeah, well.
That would be weird.
Tom Izzo said
that. What did you say on the air? He just comes in here and grabs me by the throat. What? What?
No, look at me.
What?
Don't talk back when I'm talking.
Why? Why are you choking me?
Let's just. I mean, unless Tom Izzo's going to run his newspaper with an iron fist, the comparison falls a little flat for me. But again, it's the same conversation we have every time one of these coaches fly off the handle. Speaking of coaches, a couple changes in the SEC. We'll talk about that next. I do think that maybe not the story of the day because the tournament supersedes it, but two big coaching changes coming in the SEC.
Spoiler alert.
We'll talk about it next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Vanderbilt terminates his contract, and coming out of Tuscaloosa, report is that Avery Johnson and Alabama are working on a buyout. Are you surprised that Vanderbilt is pulling the trigger on Bryce Drew?
Absolutely not, but I am surprised that Alabama's going to can Avery Johnson.
Okay. Why? I mean, I think it's self-explanatory why you're not surprised Bryce Drew is getting fired, that he went 0-18 in
the
SEC.
They had 19 opportunities this season to defeat an SEC team. They did not defeat an SEC team.
And even if they would have, that only would have been like 6% of the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to justify keeping a man
sure.
at that point. So, not surprised to see him headed out the door. But Avery Johnson, you know, that's a guy that he's just come up short the last couple of years. But everybody was really excited about him down there.
I don't think I would consider that just coming up short. I mean, I don't think Avery Johnson has been very good at Alabama. And I think he's had a lot of talent at Alabama.
And he's come up short.
Sure. I mean, like, I feel like you phrased it like he just couldn't get over the hump.
I just couldn't quite get it done.
I mean, every year.
Yeah, I mean, in comparison to Bryce Drew.
If you look at the consistency of Avery Johnson, 18 and 15, 19 and 15, 20 and 16, 18 and 16.
I mean,
He's barely winning 55% of his games there.
Last year, though, they made the tournament. Made it to the second round. I mean, he had to have some time to build.
And that was with a top 10 NBA draft pick.
They've been in the postseason every year under him. Now, three of them were the NIT.
I think they are 0-3 in the NIT. I think they got bounced in the first game of the NIT.
Yeah, it's because they wanted to be in the Big Dance.
Sure, sure. And I'm not going to judge them for losing NIT games. But feels like Avery Johnson was a little bit further away than I just couldn't quite get over the hump. 4 years, I think you've seen enough. Right?
I would have retained him.
Okay.
If I'm Alabama.
Why? Just to see if he could do it? To see if he could go 19 and 15 next year?
Well, I know he can bring in talent, and sometimes it takes coaches a little longer than others to build. I mean,
it's basketball, though.
If he brings in a couple of really highly rated recruits next year,
they will go 19 and 15.
I don't know about that.
They go 19 and 15 every year.
But the first 2 years they were building. I mean, Rick Barnes went 15 and 19, for God's sake.
Rick Barnes was doing it with top, 300 players and having to do four years to build up, a roster. Avery Johnson was down there getting top 100 players. His whole damn roster is top 100 players.
Granted, they have not gotten to the level that they quite wanted to. I like Avery Johnson.
If you want to compare him to Rick Barnes, yeah, okay. 2 years, rebuild. That's fine. By year three, can you not go 19 and 15?
Well, we got to judge him then on the last 2 years.
Right.
And one of those is a tournament appearance.
38 and 32 in his last 2 years.
Not great.
No, that is not great. That is true.
Not great, but
not good either.
But he did have an NCAA tournament appearance. A 20 and 16 years, not a bad year. I mean, this is Alabama we're talking about. The standard can't be too high.
Well, I don't know. Because I do think it's going to pose a question of what they do next. Because they tried to make a splash with Avery Johnson. You know, that was a coach who took his team to the NBA Finals. That was an NBA player for, how long did he play in the NBA? 15 years, something like that?
He played in the NBA for...
I want to say he played there for...
88 to 04.
Yeah, 15, 16 years. And then was fairly successful as an NBA coach, for at least for a little bit. Took his team to the finals, was a coach of the month with the Nets before he got fired. You know, they tried to go out and hire a big name. And it didn't work. One tournament appearance in 4 years. And it wasn't because they didn't have talent. They had the talent. They just could never win. He basically has the same exact resume as Anthony Grant. So what does Alabama do now? Because they got a lot of money, right? Like, their athletic department prints money because the football team is just, really, really good and has been for over a decade.
Yeah, I would think they can hire anybody they want at this point.
So I think, from my perspective here as someone wanting Tennessee to be good, I'm not happy they fired Avery Johnson, because you know what you have with your enemy Avery Johnson. You got somebody who's going to win roughly 55% of his games. Does Alabama say, hey, we're willing to spend. Let's go out and try to hire a big name.
Billy Donovan.
Maybe. If you'd asked me that a month ago, I'd have said no way, because Paul George was playing like an MVP and the Thunder were the 3 seed and looking like the second best team in the West. Fast forward to March 22nd and the Thunder are down in the 8 seed and probably headed for a first round exit again.
And Billy Donovan just seems like a college coach.
I was thinking maybe Greg Marshall. I haven't heard from Wichita State in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what happened to them?
I feel like every day Greg Marshall has to just sit there and be like, man, what was I doing?
Now I'm not desired by anyone, and I'm living in Wichita.
Why didn't I just take a big job? I mean, yeah, sure, I'm a jerk, but why didn't I just take a big job? Why did I want to stay here? Because I haven't thought of Wichita State in a long time.
No one has.
Alabama or Vanderbilt, what's a better job in basketball? Because at Alabama, you obviously aren't going to be the main attraction. That's not going to happen.
No.
At Vanderbilt, you can be.
Might have to go Vanderbilt.
You've seen Vanderbilt be able to recruit at a high level. I mean, like I said, Alabama's done their fair share of recruiting at a high level with Avery Johnson, too. So I just feel like Nashville probably has better in-state basketball recruiting than Alabama. I can't really back that up. I mean, I could with a Google search, but just take my word for it. Better basketball talent in Tennessee than Alabama. Better city.
This is actually the first time since 2010 that Wichita State is not in the tournament.
Now's the time.
Must have had a tough year.
And then, hell, you might have LSU open up, too. I mean, at this point, we all think LSU's opening up, right? I've maintained that I don't think that LSU is going to let Will Wade go stand on a federal trial, get under oath while being labeled as LSU head coach Will Wade.
Yeah, I don't see how LSU doesn't open up. That's definitely going to be a job opening. So that should be.
I think all three of those can be good jobs. I mean, Alabama mostly just because they have the money. And they've shown that they're going to spend money. Vanderbilt, I think, like I said, I think Tennessee is a good state for recruiting. I think Nashville is obviously an awesome city. LSU is probably the best job there, though, right? Even with the NCAA kind of cloud hanging over them. It seems like they're going to kind of leave Will Wade out to dry on this. Let him deal with it himself.
They can sort of do what Tennessee and Mississippi State did in bringing in higher level coaches. Ole Miss has done it now. It seems anyway.
Got a couple people tweeting in. Got Josh and Nick's tweeting in that Alabama should hire Rick Pitino. Which Josh says it just to make a big splash. Notorious Nick says it so that the NCAA will start sniffing around the athletic department. For that reason, I don't think Alabama would kick the tires on Pitino just because he does have the NCAA stigma with him right now, and you don't want a dirty basketball coach when your football program is rolling type of thing.
Yeah, I don't think you risk football if you are Alabama for anything to do with your basketball program.
I don't think Rick Pitino is getting a high-profile college basketball job again. But I do think, to answer your question, Josh, I do think they are going to try to make a splash. We'll see. Maybe they'll go safe. Maybe they'll go up-and-coming mid-major guy. I don't know. We'll see. But both of those openings and the impending LSU opening, I think all three of those jobs could just help bolster the SEC. And obviously LSU won the SEC this year. They're already doing their part. Vanderbilt was the laughingstock of the SEC. And Alabama's just kind of middle of the pack.
Which job out of those three would you most want if you could have one of the three?
I'd probably say LSU. Like, we'll see what happens with the school. I mean, but the thing is, I'm not taking that job until I see what's happening, like, in the NCAA investigation, right? So that might hurt them when it comes to trying to hire a coach. Like, I don't think a big name is going to go to LSU whenever they might be on probation, right, or facing a postseason ban. So with that in mind, I guess I'd take Vanderbilt.
I think Vanderbilt would be my answer.
Although, I don't know.
Cities mean so much to me. I just can't imagine living in Baton Rouge.
Sure.
I think it would be awful.
It does feel awful. I'm trying to think, though, if I was at a basketball school, would I want a good football program? Because I do think you could, host recruits at football games and just kind of give you an idea of, like, what the fan base is like. I do think that weighs in. I don't know how much basketball players want to go to football games and watch and hang out, but, like, it's just another social event.
When you Google Baton Rouge, it just looks brown.
That's funny because that's how I pictured it in my mind, just
the,
brown.
The city just looks
light like, brown.
It just looks like it's covered in dirt.
Deep fried, light brown, little bit of a corn dog smell to it.
It's because that river goes through there, and that river's just muddy. And it's just, well, here's a nice photo of it. I don't know. Maybe it's not always brown. But it's probably humid. It's swampy. It's just, you know, it's Louisiana. No one can speak English well.
All right, let's catch a break. We're going to have Colgate assistant coach Dave Klatsky on with us next. We'll talk to him about the game today. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, pleased to be joined by Dave Klatsky. He is a Colgate assistant coach. Coach, thanks for making time for us, and congrats on the first NCAA tournament appearance in 23 years.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys. And yeah, it's been a fun ride, and we're really happy to be here at this point of the season.
When you look at playing Tennessee, what were a couple of things that jumped out to you?
Well, yeah, they're a really good team. I think you know, once we knew we were going to be around a 14, 15, 16 seed, we knew we weren't going to get an easy draw. And Tennessee is a veteran team that kind of stuck out right away as a bunch of guys that have been through this before, and just a team that plays smart. They really don't beat themselves. So we knew coming in, you know, once we started really prepping for Tennessee, how good they really were and how good they can be. But this is March. You never know what's going to happen. You know, we've seen crazier things, so we think we got our guys ready, and hopefully they'll come to play, and it'll be an exciting game.
Is that the message in the locker room, you know, as you are heading into this situation as an underdog? Is it just nothing but shock the world type of thing? This is what happens in March, as you said?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to look at it from that perspective. Our guys, they want to play this game. They want to win. I really think that they're probably the only ones, you know, those guys in the locker room along with the coaches and maybe a few people across the country. I think I saw 2% of people are picking Colgate. But, if we do what we can and we play well and we play hard, we believe we can win the game. So that's the mindset that we're instilling in our players, and that's the mindset they're going to go into the game with.
As we are on the air here in Knoxville, you know, we're a couple hours from tip-off. Give us a couple of things to watch for with Colgate. I mean, I know the three-point shooting has been really hot. Is that the strength of the team right now?
Yeah, that's kind of our mantra. That's kind of what we do. If you've watched us or read about us or looked up our stats, we fire. We fire threes. And it's not like we go into a game saying we're going to fire threes, but that's we take what the defense gives us, and that's kind of what the defense has given us. So I know, obviously, Tennessee sees that too, and they'll probably make it a point to try and take away our three-point shooting. And maybe that'll open up some lanes for some interior scoring. So it's not like we're coming into the game saying we have to shoot threes. We're going to shoot threes if they're given to us. And that's kind of been our feeling all year long. And over the last 10 to 12 games, we've shot it well. So can we keep that going? I sure hope so.
What was the celebration like after winning the conference tournament? Like I said, first tournament appearance in 23 years. Take us inside that locker room.
Yeah, it was incredible. It really was incredible just to see the emotions of everybody involved, including the community. I mean, this is something we hosted the game, which made it even better, but this is something the community and the school hasn't experienced in 23 years. And to even have a chance at it from where we came 8 years ago, was special. So it was surreal. I made it three times as a player, and this one almost was a little bit better because when I was at Penn, we were kind of expected to win. This one, Colgate's not expected to win. So for us to get over that hump, it was really special, and you could see just in the emotions and the happiness of everybody involved, it was something. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Hopefully not once in a lifetime. Hopefully we can do this a couple more times, but at that moment it felt like that.
As someone who coaches at a smaller school, can you walk through the process? How does someone like Ja Morant end up at Murray State? Like how does everyone miss on him? And obviously, you know, first triple double and in 7 years projected to be a top three NBA draft pick. How did he end up at Murray State?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I don't know his exact process, but You know, we've had guys like C.J. McCollum in our league that are very similar.
Yeah.
So I think what happens is, one, these guys get better. So I don't know if he was the number two draft pick coming into his decision, but I have a feeling he had people in his corner saying, look, go where you're most comfortable, go where you can succeed, and he must have felt comfortable with the Murray State staff and their program. And at the end of the day, when you're that good, it might even be better to go to a slightly lower level and just dominate than go to, you know, the blue bloods and kind of be good, but not really stick out as much as a John Morant, Damian Lillard, C.J. McCollum type player.
Yeah, just that it's been wild to see him, like you said, dominate, and then to do it yesterday, you know, against Marquette was pretty wild to watch. All right, Coach, appreciate you for joining us. Best of luck today, but not too much luck. Congratulations on making the tournament.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. That was Dave Klatsky, Colgate men's basketball assistant coach. Good job by you, Cody, in that interview.
I was going to ask him about the toothpaste, but then I was like, I don't know. He might be offended.
Well, we were supposed to have that was Ben. I asked Ben to do that for me because I was supposed to have a sponsored event, and they been kind of dragging their feet on it. So we were supposed to have an interview, and then they haven't actually given me back the signed contract. So I wasn't.
It's a great interview.
I mean, he's probably like, "What the hell was that all about?" And he's probably like, "Wow, okay." Like 2 minutes into that, I was like, "Okay, got pretty much what I wanted." Please don't shoot a lot of threes against this coach. Like Auburn really busted our ass at that three-pointer. Can you not do that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I hope this guy hasn't watched the Auburn film.
I was going to ask him like what they're thinking whenever they're watching Auburn just beat Tennessee up. But then I want them to be like, oh wait, we forgot to watch that game. Let me go see what Auburn did. Maybe we should try that.
Surely he wouldn't have said that.
I do think it's cool though to you know, be in that locker room like he said. A 23 tournament, you know, a 23 year drought. Now Colgate back in the NCAA tournament.
Do you think they get annoyed by toothpaste jokes?
Should have asked.
Yeah, should have.
That was your journalistic
Ben, can you call him back? Can you call Dave back? I want to ask him about the toothpaste. Do you guys get annoyed by that, or is that pretty standard? I bet it is. I bet when they go on the road to like their conference rivals and stuff.
I mean, I also had the their like play-by-play guy pretty lined up, so like I could probably message him back. We'll get him on another hour, then we can just do we'll just make fun of him.
Yeah, no, that was good enough.
The play-by-play guy, I don't.
Just send him a DM, Ben. Say, hey, last question. Do you guys get mad about the toothpaste jokes? I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that. But
I was gonna ask it, but you were being very professional.
Well,
so I didn't know. I didn't know if this guy likes to joke around or.
Well, I feel like he's not gonna like joking around on the day of like the biggest game of like their programs in the last 23 years.
I didn't want you to be like, oh, so tell me about a player who does this, and you know, that's a great guy, great player.
Like I said, I gave Ben a challenge. I said, Ben, find me somebody from Colgate, because like I said, it was supposed to be a sponsored interview. They didn't come through with the signature yet, so we held off on making it a sponsored interview. But Ben booked this coach, so at 10:15, I was going to say, just tell him never mind. But then at the same time, I was like, he was willing to come on. We also only had like an 8-minute section because like they're prepping for the game today. Like they're probably headed to like the stadium right now.
Do you feel like he thinks he wasted time doing that interview that could have been spent prepping for Tennessee?
Maybe. Perhaps. Maybe that was our plan, just disrupt his morning a little bit. I just didn't know if he'd be in the mood to joke, like I said, on the biggest game of the last 23 years of the program.
That's why I didn't ask about the toothpaste.
When Ben told me, he's like, oh, I found a guy who does a podcast, which this coach does do his own podcast.
That could be anyone.
Well, I know, but there's not a big market for Colgate beat writers, right?
I wouldn't think so.
There's no like Colgate super fan that we could track down to get a hold of.
There might be.
Ben said he searched for 30 minutes, so he texted me last night.
Oh, he's probably on Facebook.
Had some drinks with dinner at Elkmont, and then we went to play trivia at Hop. So, like, you know, enjoying the beverages. So I was like, yeah, sure, man, sounds great. Lock it down. And then today he's like, yeah, he's an assistant coach. I'm like, wait, what? What is it? This has got to have something better to be doing today?
I'm surprised he came on.
He's got nothing better to be doing. Except, you know, prepping for the chance to be the two seed.
Well, I, for one, enjoyed talking today.
Yeah, you did great.
I mean, I didn't talk to him, but I enjoyed hearing you talk to him.
Just a really random drop-in. People who listen to Talk Sports are like, wait, who the hell is this guy, and what are John and Cody doing? But good job. I gave Ben a task, and he completed it.
He always does.
Did you see the Tennessee basketball video of...
Don't pick us?
No.
God, I hope they didn't pull that one out again.
No, they didn't. They didn't go with that one.
I don't know.
I saw a random video. I didn't watch all of it, but they had Grant Williams with toothpaste. Brushing his teeth.
Oh, yeah?
I assume he was going with... it just shows him brushing his teeth. I mean, did he say that he was a Kreska? Let me see. Let me fast forward a little bit.
Apparently, Colgate employees are showing support for Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah.
Why's that?
Because they live in Morristown. Colgate has a Morristown factory. Do you know that? Just huh? 45 minutes from here.
Shout out to them. I wonder if Crest employees are rooting for us, too.
I don't know. Channel 8 did a story on it, and apparently all their employees are Tennessee fans, which is not that big of a surprise. I don't know why them working at a toothpaste factory would make them Colgate basketball fans.
Probably hate the man.
So big shocker, people who live in Morristown, 45 minutes from campus, are Tennessee fans. That's basically what you need to know.
Journalism.
But you did learn that Colgate has a toothpaste factory close by.
I will say that Vol basketball usually has great videos. I'm not digging the one with Grant Williams just brushing his teeth. It's just him brushing his teeth for 28 seconds, and then he walks off, and they flash across the screen, beat Colgate.
Aren't you supposed to brush for 2 minutes at a time?
Is that a thing?
Yeah. And he only did it for 28 seconds?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it...
That's not a good sign.
Let me check to see, because he was already brushing his teeth when the video started, so maybe he was doing it for another 90 seconds.
Speaking of a guy who needs to brush his teeth.
Oh, God. It's always funny how you complain about the microphone stinking while also coming in here all the time without brushing your teeth.
Guess which kind I use.
I hope Crest. Use Colgate.
I'm a Colgate Total guy.
Wow, you are a Colgate guy.
Yeah.
Not to tell Vol Hoops how to do their job, because like I said, they're awesome. But I think I would have had Grant brush his teeth and then walk off, and then the camera goes down, he's using Crest. Like that's how I would have done it. Not to tell them how to do their job.
I was just waiting to finish my coffee. Because
all right, you go brush your teeth.
Well, I can't until I finish my coffee.
Oh.
So I'll do it sometime in the next, I don't know, 20 minutes probably.
It's always so weird to me when you show up without brushing your teeth. Like, how is that not the first thing you do? How do you not just take the 45 seconds at your house to brush your teeth?
Because it takes more than 45 seconds. It takes a good 2 to 3 minutes. And sometimes I don't have 2 to 3 minutes to spare.
It takes 3 minutes for you to brush your teeth?
Yes, I brush well.
I'm going to go in there and time you.
And I brush twice a day, so don't act like I'm a bad hygiene guy.
When you go in here and brush your teeth, I'm going to go in here and time you, because I don't believe that you brush your teeth for 2 minutes.
I'd rather you not.
I'm going to.
I'd rather you just stay here, let me do what I got to do, and I'll come back with a fresh mouth.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Davey Hudson of 3 and Out here. By now, you have probably heard me talk about how working out at Gold's Gym